poverty, poverty now. My loom is a-saying all day, poverty, poverty now. Gaffer's too skinny to pay, poverty, poverty now. Keeping one eye on the clock, I know I can gutter when I hear my shuttle go, poverty, poverty now.
Up every morning at 5.
I'm joined on the line right now with John Clark, who's a community organizer with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty in Toronto. Thank you very much for joining us today, John.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We're going to be talking about the economic crisis, about poverty in Ontario, and looking also at how the economic crisis has played out in recent elections in Canada and, of course, in the United States. So to begin, OCAP put out a statement, I guess just about a couple of weeks ago, on the economic crisis. And the heading of this statement is, it's their system, they broke it, and we're not going to fix it. Can you explain OCAP's take on the financial crisis and the bailouts for the rich? Can you tell us maybe what you mean by bailouts for the rich?
Well, you do have this now, this vast crisis that's began to play out in the financial markets, is spreading to the so-called real economy, and is having potentially absolutely catastrophic and certainly at least very, very serious consequences. And one of the first things that must strike people, and certainly in terms of the U.S. bailout, there was a sharp reaction from people phoning into the elected representatives and such like, is that in fact the whole notion of the neoliberal agenda has been justified on the basis that there's no alternative, that there's no resources for things like hospitals and schools and social programs and the things people need. And then the system suddenly runs into trouble, and all of a sudden billions and billions and billions of dollars are suddenly available to bail out banks and to bail out capitalism. And there's an obvious, striking, massive injustice and contradiction that people become immediately aware of. I mean, all the time we deal with the welfare system here in Toronto, and we're dealing with the most vicious, penny-pinching attempts to deny people even the few miserable entitlements that they're supposed to get under the system. And politically, this is always justified on the basis of a lack of resources. And you know, the next time we confront someone telling us that there's nothing available for a family that's facing eviction, that can't put food on the table, we're going to ourselves take it much less seriously than we did in the past. Not that we were particularly serious about it before.
Some of the major bailouts that have happened in the U.S., some of our listeners may be familiar with. In Canada recently, one that I can think of that happened was the city of Vancouver bailing out the company that's building the Olympic Village in the downtown east side. Do you know of any other specific instances that have already hit in Canada where large companies have been bailed out due to this economic crisis?
Well, I think the things that have already occurred are the buying up of mortgages, the putting up of money for the banks, and what's obviously being prepared is some kind of major bailout operation for the ailing auto companies. But I think we're going to see more of that as this plays out. We're going to see this incredible contradiction of politicians for years who have made careers out of the notion of self-sufficiency and what have you, who are suddenly going to become heartily in favor of a kind of socialism for the rich and free enterprise for everybody else.
Another statement that's made within this the statement that OCAP put out is, it says, get ready for ordinary people to feel the crunch. You were just talking a little bit before about welfare and some of the work that OCAP has done around welfare. How are ordinary people that you're working with your organization going to feel this economic crisis?
Well, I mean, we can only, I think, have some sense of likely directions, because we don't know precisely how this crisis is going to unfold. Is it going to take the form of something clearly massively catastrophic? Is the financial system itself not going to be able to be stabilized, or are they going to get back control of the system and have a sustained downturn throughout 2009 and then some level of recovery? The scenarios can play out in various ways, but as this thing starts to accumulate, I think the important thing to recognize is that, unlike previous recessions, which weren't as serious as the one that's unfolding, is there was some level of social safety net, as they like to say, available to people, and that's been massively eroded. So people are going to find themselves losing their jobs and losing their homes and immediately being thrown into a situation where unemployment insurance isn't there, where the welfare system is even less adequate than it was in earlier decades. And that's going to have an enormous impact. Already in Ontario, austerity measures are being announced around funding for municipalities. And in this province, welfare is delivered through the municipalities and funded partly by the municipalities. So you could potentially see a situation where not only are welfare offices doing everything they can to deny people assistance, but you could actually have a situation where the financial viability of the welfare system is called into question. You're obviously going to see a massive increase in evictions of tenants and foreclosures for working class homeowners. You're obviously going to see a lot of unemployment, but potentially you could see unemployment taking the form of businesses just collapsing and folding and no money being available for the severance pay and other legal entitlements that people are waiting for. So you could start to see real, very, very serious and profound dislocations starting to happen.
It's interesting because all of these things that you're bringing up, we've had OCAP come on the program for years now talking about these issues. So on the one hand, I guess one could make the argument that this isn't actually a new thing. I mean, is there anything different right now with this economic crisis than basically the social problems that OCAP has been fighting since the beginning of its very existence?
Well, I suppose the answer to that is, I hate to use such a formulation, but it's yes and no, in the sense that yes, I mean, these problems have been emerging and have been intensifying, but they could happen on a scale now that really does change the political landscape and does increase the amount of suffering that's going on in people's lives and the degree to which communities are really up against it. So I think, you know, at a certain point, quantitative changes become qualitative changes. Already in this office, you know, we deal with lots and lots of people's individual cases. We're seeing a significant increase in the number of people who are coming to us around eviction issues. So already it starts to play out. And you could well see a situation where things start to happen on a scale that makes a response to it, something different than just dealing with the kind of impacts that we've seen up until now in terms of the intensification of poverty.
Let's talk a little bit more about the responses. OCAP goes on to say in the statement that communities under attack will have to organize. What ideas is OCAP putting forward in this time of economic crisis in order for poor people to fight back against some responses that might come from governments and institutions?
Right. Well, it seems to us that people are going to have to begin to organize on essentially two different levels. One is going to be that we're going to have to build up at the local level a capacity to defend people. We're going to start to see the very things I was talking about, evictions, companies folding and abandoning people, welfare offices that are virtually closing their doors on people in need. And there's going to be a need to organize to defend people in that situation. We have a model of direct action casework that we've used over the years, and we would look to contribute to bringing that into communities and organizing people to defend families, to defend individuals. So there'd be that kind of level of organizing. But then I think what is also going to be required is to begin to generalize those things into broader demands and to build a movement around those demands. I mean, it's striking that even such entrenched neoliberal politicians as Harper and Flaherty are beginning to have to reluctantly acknowledge that their notion of never running deficits under any circumstances is not going to be viable. But on the other hand, they're doing everything they can to minimize the degree to which they're prepared to respond to the needs that emerge in this crisis. And we're dealing with a similar scenario with the McGuinty provincial government here. So we're going to have to start actually trying to organize to advance demands around meeting people's needs, around increases in allocations of funds for things like welfare and unemployment insurance and what have you. There's the beginnings of talk around more vigorous pressing for government spending on jobs, public works, and those kinds of things. So, I think there's going to have to be an attempt to ensure that what it really comes down to, as we say in the statement, is that there is a crisis, but that the bill can't just simply be presented to poor people and to working people. The system itself has to be forced to provide for people's needs.
I wanted to shift a little bit to talk about elections, because obviously we've just had two major elections here in North America. We had the Canadian federal elections in October, where I guess the economic crisis hit just close to the beginning of the campaign, and it became the major issue throughout the campaign. And then, of course, with the U.S. elections, some would argue that that economic crisis cost John McCain the election. And then now in Quebec, we're in the middle of an election campaign where what we're seeing is parties from the right to the left basically campaigning around people's fears, I guess you could say, around the economic insecurity. You yourself, you've been organizing with OCAP for many years. Have you seen this phenomenon before of basically parties and elections having to center themselves around so-called economic crises?
No, I think it was quite remarkable. I mean, the Quebec election is now falling into the same scenario, but there's been a series of elections: the national election here, and then the election in the United States that just happened to arrive at a time when this crisis was actually the few weeks when this crisis was really decisively emerging on the world stage. And so it's perhaps not surprising that the parties and the participants in the election were forced to respond. Of course, what has happened is that there's been people emerging victorious who now consider themselves to have a mandate to deal with the crisis. And what's so striking is that if you look at the statements coming out of the world leaders and the agencies that represent and speak for this system, is the degree to which they don't know what to do, and they're scrambling. In the United States, the new president has been elected on a somewhat nebulous but nonetheless a platform that struck a chord of change, and his administration is going to be dealing with the most incredible increase in the crisis, and people are going to be looking to him to act upon the rhetoric of his election, and I think it's going to lead to quite a politically explosive situation.
There's, a lot of our listeners, but voters all across Quebec right now are, I guess, thinking about the upcoming election on December the 8th, and thinking about maybe where they'll cast their ballot, or in terms of which party they're going to vote for. And I guess what I wanted to ask you is, what would your message be to low-income voters, either here in Quebec or it could be anywhere else in Canada, who are thinking about voting based on their fears around the economy? What would you say to them?
Well, I mean, I don't presume to tell people what they should do in elections in terms of whether they should vote and how they should view the use of the voting tactic. But at the same time, I do think it's striking and obvious that we're dealing with mainstream political formations that. Are all dedicated to the stabilizing of this system, and the only way that this capitalist system is going to be stabilized is on the basis is on the backs of most of us. And so, whoever emerges in an electoral contest, whether it's in Quebec or whether it's across Canada or whether it's in the United States, is going to be looking to restore stability through the imposition of austerity on the bulk of the population, and that's going to lead to a political contest that isn't going to be settled through elections. It's going to be a question of the mobilization of people in their communities and in their workplaces.
Because the many are in the commons, they keep getting taller. We love, it's all for nothing but the release of something.